Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I am glad you're here. Full show for you guys today. A bunch of interviews to get to. You're going to hear from Iowa coach Tom Brands in his weekly meeting with the media. You're going to hear from both Brent Metcalf and David Carr from Iowa State. Had a really interesting conversation with them earlier this week. Also going to hear from Northern Iowa coach Doug Schwab as the Panthers have a Friday night duel this week at Northern Illinois. But first, we're going to go west real quick to Brookings, South Dakota, home of the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, and we're going to catch up with assistant coach Cody Caldwell. Cody, a Waverly Shell Rock graduate, wrestled at Northern Iowa, then he coached at Grandview and is now in Brookings with Damian Hahn, the longtime Cornell assistant turned South Dakota State head coach. The Jackrabbits have a big duel this weekend against Iowa State, so I figured now would probably be a good time to get Cody on the podcast. We talked about a lot of things in this interview, but most of it centered on all of the Iowa guys in South Dakota State's room. Three of them are in the starting lineup. You guys probably remember these names. Zach Price, originally from Johnston, he now starts at 133 pounds. Kay DeVos from Southeast Polk, he's starting at 157. And then Tanner Sloan, the Alburnett grad, who is a star at 197 pounds. Cody and I talk about all of them, all the other Iowa natives that are in the room, what it's been like trying to recruit more Iowa guys out to Brookings, and what he expects from them moving forward, especially this weekend against Iowa State. Really fun conversation to kick off today's show. I enjoyed it. I think you guys will too. So we're going to cue up the intro music and get to it now. I'll see you guys on the other side of this interview with South Dakota State coach Cody Caldwell. I hope you guys enjoy. Cody Caldwell from Waverly Shell Rock, from Grandview coaching staff, now at South Dakota State, and you have found a way, Coach, to keep those Iowa kids surrounding you in one form or another. How has that been? I mean, I know that, you know, when I've been on the job and since you've kind of been in the position that you've been in, you know, we've made contact just about, you know, all these Iowa guys going to South Dakota State and,
for sure.
You know, we've had these conversations before about how much you love just kind of the gritty toughness that Iowa kids kind of grow up with. But, you know, now we're really starting to see a lot of them make an impact for South Dakota State, and that has to be pretty rewarding, you know, not just as a college wrestling coach, but as somebody who's from the state of Iowa and kind of understands what these kids go through as they're coming up through high school wrestling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my roots are in Iowa. That's where I grew up, and, you know, from high school to wrestling at the University of Northern Iowa, I have a lot of connections in the state, and we love those Iowa guys, right? And we're going to continue to try to add them to our program. You know, it's been great getting them involved, and now you're kind of seeing the success start to happen. You know, you have guys like Tanner Sloan, who is really making a name for himself at South Dakota State, you know, ranked top 10 in the country, and then others, among others. You know, you have guys like Zach Price, who is doing some great things for the program, has started off really well. And, you know, the list goes on and on. A Kate DeVos, who's young and is scrapping it out. I'm an Iowa guy, right? I'm an Iowa guy. I coach at South Dakota State, and I want to continue to bring the best guys from the state of Iowa to South Dakota State. And, I think we're doing a good job, but we want to continue to add to the program.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the kind of the three guys that I know I wanted to discuss with you, Zach Price at 133, Kate DeVos, at 157, and then obviously Tanner Sloan at 197. We've talked about him quite a bit over the last few years.
Yep.
What have you kind of seen from those three guys this year now that they've been kind of mainstays in the starting lineup for you guys?
Yeah, it's been great seeing them progress, and they're all kind of at different stages, right? I mean, you have a guy like Tanner Sloan who this is his second year in the lineup. You know, and he has wrestled those top-ranked opponents. He's had a lot of success. He has qualified for the national tournament. Unfortunately, it didn't go through last year, but I would have really loved to see what he would have been capable of at the national tournament. I really believe that he had it in him to become an All-American. And so, you know, you talk about each of those three individuals. They're kind of in different stages, you know. Cade DeVos just now, you know, he redshirted last year, had a great redshirt year, and now he's the guy, right? He's the guy. And seeing him progress through this season, you know, it's one thing to be the starter. It's another to be a first-time starter in these circumstances, right? It's a shortened season. It's, you know, you don't have as many matches and things like that. But he is one that, you know, he's faced a lot of tough opponents, right? It has not been an easy road for him. And he is learning and growing throughout this process. And there's no doubt in my mind, in our mind as a coaching staff, that he is going to make some big waves come March. And, you know, he'll be tested again this weekend. Cade DeVos, you know, we go up to Fargo and we wrestle North Dakota State and Iowa State. North Dakota State has Jared Franek, who's a top 20 guy. And then you got David Carr, who is legit, you know, out of Iowa State. So the road doesn't get easier. And I know Cade is a competitor, and he wouldn't have it any other way. And the last one to touch on is Zach Price. And, you know, he started the season out on a tear, taking out Missouri's Matt Schmidt and Turner from Oregon State, two top 20 guys. And from there, you know, he's had some losses, but at the same time, he is a guy that is a competitor. You know, he has had that taste of success now at the highest level, and he's going to continue to build off that. I'm really excited to see where he ends up come the national tournament.
Absolutely. Yeah. All these guys, all the names that we know really well here in Iowa, but especially in Des Moines, with Zach Price being from Johnson and Cade DeVos being from Southeast Polk. I'm curious from your perspective, having three guys like that in the lineup and seeing the levels of success that they've had, even though, you know, a guy like Cade DeVos might still be really young in his career, but Tanner Sloan, you know, he junior world team, lots of freestyle success. Zach Price, you mentioned the hot start that he came out with this season. You know, as a coach, as someone who really loves to recruit the state of Iowa, how nice is it to have, you know, not just Iowa guys in the room, but really Iowa guys in the lineup that are producing the way that these guys are? I mean, is that something you're able to tell kids when you come into the state, say, hey, you know, you can come here, you'll get developed a little bit, and you'll make a difference in this lineup like these guys are? I mean, is that the message that you send when you come into Iowa to try and recruit more kids?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it becomes better over time, right? You know, it's one thing getting them there, and then it's the next showing that, hey, you can develop, you can grow, you can better yourselves within our program. And that's one thing that, you know, Coach Hahn has brought to our program, the training aspect, the development piece, which I think he does it better than anybody in the country. And you see those Iowa guys who have been thrown into that system and now are starting to reap the benefits. And with success, you know, it's attractive, and more people want to be a part of it. And I'm very grateful to have a leader like Coach Hahn who empowers me to go out and recruit some of these kids, you know. And me being from Iowa, that's a major connection that I have, you know, with my dad having been a very successful coach in the state at Waverly Shell Rock, you know, and they've got a phenomenal program amongst other great coaches, you know, within the state. It's a hotbed of wrestling, and we want to provide those guys an opportunity at South Dakota State.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those three are in the starting lineup, Coach, but you got a handful more that are in the room. Cole Cassidy from Martinsdale St. Mary's, Marshall Hawk from Lisbon, Daniel Kimball from Don Bosco, Spencer Ternary from Clarion Goldfield Owls. I hope I'm not missing anybody, but there's a lot of Iowa kids. Jack Thompson from Union. I was missing somebody. I was looking up and down the roster here. Just a lot of Iowa kids in the room. We've talked plenty about the three that are in the starting lineup. Who do you think is the next to maybe make an impact for you guys of the other guys that are in the room still working?
Yeah, for sure. We love having those guys, right? They, even though maybe they're not the guy right now, they are growing and continuing to improve. And, you know, you talk about a guy like Jack Thompson and Spencer Trenary, you know, those are guys that had a lot of success in high school. And, you know, they this year being a little bit different, we're able to travel with a significant amount of guys and get them extra matches, right? So even though Jack Thompson, he's a true freshman, you know, this year is not a countable year, right? Everybody gets this year back. So we've taken Jack and Spencer, but I'm mentioning Jack because he's a true freshman. We've taken him on every trip. Right, and so he's been able to get that taste of college Division I wrestling, put on the singlet, step to the line in an accountable match. And I know that those opportunities are going to pay major dividends down the road. Spencer Trinary, you know, right now he's gaining great experience as well. This earlier this year, you know, he went out to UWW Juniors and won the Greco national title, and then finished third in freestyle, so he's been provided with those opportunities to gain the necessary experience. You know, he's being a part of our Jackrabbit Wrestling Club. You know, we travel guys, we get provide them opportunities to compete, and which will ultimately help him to continue to transition, you know, to the folk style college Division I level. So it's been great. It's been great. These guys are key parts, key pieces to our program, and we love having them.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you one more question about Tanner Sloan. The strides that he has made has been, you know, now that he's able to really focus in on wrestling, may not surprise a lot of us who have seen him from up close for so long, but, you know, he's really turned heads nationally, and he's really become, you know, one of those names to watch at a weight class that is, you know, not only, I think, very wide open nationally, but also very competitive in the Big 12. Where have you kind of seen him? You know, where has he made the biggest gains, or where has he made the biggest strides over the last year and a half or so?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been very fulfilling to be able to see Tanner Sloan continue to develop and grow. You know, coming out of high school, you know, he's a small kid from Alburnett, Iowa, you know, and kind of stepped on the scene and made a splash right away. You know, he had great matches in his true freshman year, you know, beating Schultz, beating Warner, and doing so convincingly. And people are kind of like, you know, who the heck is this kid? But he is now established. He's well known. And, you know, I've been able to spend a lot of time with Tanner, and he's a great kid, hard worker, and one who has fully invested and trusted in the process that Coach Hahn has brought. And all of us have had a role in a number of different ways in Tanner's development. It's been so much fun to see him, you know, just get better, right? You know, a kid who didn't really wrestle freestyle very much in high school, you know, he made a junior world team. You know, me and Coach Hahn were able to go over to Estonia and coach him as he competed in the Junior World Championships. He went over to the Pan American Championships, won a Pan Am title there, and he's been able to experience so many different things that, you know, if it wasn't for the sport of wrestling in South Dakota State, he wouldn't have been afforded those opportunities. And, you know, he's getting to the point now, yeah, he is well-known across the country, and he is gaining that confidence that is necessary for him to, you know, go win at the highest level, right? He truly believes that he can be the 2021 197-pound national champion. And you know what? We believe in it too. And it's just been very rewarding, you know, to see him, because he works so hard and to be able to gaining the success, and really excited for him to continue on this journey and finish the season outright.
Absolutely, absolutely. I imagine you probably roll with him quite a bit in the room, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's great as a coach, you know, teaching these guys and helping them develop. It's not as fun getting your butt kicked. So, you know, those first couple of years, you know, I could scrap with him, kind of put it to him, and since then the tides have turned a bit, and he has really improved, and you know, he is a force to be reckoned with, that's for sure.
I love it.
I love it. I love the fact that there are a bunch of Iowa kids that are getting Division I opportunities, and especially in Brookings at South Dakota State. It's a really cool thing and a really cool pipeline that you guys have really established there, the Iowa Jackrabbits, as I like to call them. You guys are wrestling Iowa State this weekend, the Cyclones. I think this is maybe one of Iowa State's only couple of road, one of two maybe road away competitions this year.
Yep.
You guys are also, I think your schedule also says that you're going to wrestle North Dakota State, and I know you wrestled them earlier this year. Are you guys going to wrestle them again?
Yeah, we're going to wrestle them again. So, them being so close, this season, being so different with the quads and the tries, and anybody that comes to the Dakotas, they want to wrestle both North Dakota State and South Dakota State. So with limited competitions, we're like, heck, let's wrestle twice. So, we're going to wrestle both of those duels. With North Dakota State, it's our battle for the border bell. It's a fun little rivalry. And then we get a scrap with Iowa State, and really looking forward to that duel. They have an outstanding team. Coach Dresser has done a great job over there, and excited to be able to compete against those guys. A lot of matches that I think are going to be exciting, and I hope everyone's able to tune in.
Absolutely, yeah. If you were to circle three or four matches in that South Dakota State Iowa State duel, which ones do you think you're probably most looking forward to? From a coaching perspective.
Yeah, and I think, we've talked about our Iowa guys. I think our Iowa guys have some great matches. You start at 33, Zach Price. I'm taking on Redding, who's kind of been the guy. He's had some quality wins and has shown that he can scrap. So excited for Zach Price to get out there and show why he is a top 20 competitor. And then moving on to 157, we talked a little bit about Cade DeVos. What a great opportunity, This is the number three ranked dude in the country, and you have the opportunity to scrap with him. And so really excited for Cade to be able to go out and show that, yeah, he is one that is a competitor in this weight class, and one that is going to be a force come March. And then, we finish off with Tanner Sloan against Bastida. So that kid is very explosive. He is new to the folk style scene, but excited for Sloan to, continue to get out there and scrap and kind of establish that dominance. And, they're solid up and down the lineup. They really are. There's a reason why they're, a top 15, top 10 program. And, I'm excited for our guys to be able to go out and show them what we're about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Coach, I really appreciate the time this afternoon. Is there anything else you got for me before we let you go?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I appreciate it, Cody. You've done a great job with covering our outstanding sport. We need more people like you. And just excited to continue to add Iowans to the Jackrabbit family, man. We love those guys, and we're not done yet. So get jacked, man.
Big thanks to Cody Caldwell for the time. We didn't mention that another Iowa senior is heading to Brookings soon. Waverly Shellrock's Bailey Roybal, state champ last year. He signed with South Dakota State, projects as their future 125-pounder. I know they're really excited about adding him to the program. Okay, a few more interviews to round out today's show. We're going to start with Iowa State. We got to talk with Brent Metcalf and David Carr earlier this week, so we're going to play them next. Always enjoy hearing from Metcalf, a very insightful guy, and it's a really nice change of pace to hear from the assistant sometimes. We also talked to him and David about just kind of forcing your opponents to wrestle you. I'm sure you guys remember this past weekend, David beat Oklahoma State's Wyatt Sheets 8-4, and Sheets spent much of the match on his knees. So we talked to Metcalf about facing similar hurdles during his career when he was at Iowa, and how he and David have kind of talked about trying to navigate situations like that. After that, you're going to hear from Northern Iowa coach Doug Schwab. He'll do a quick recap of last Saturday's duel against Oklahoma State, then look ahead to Friday's duel against Northern Illinois, which is a duel the Panthers should absolutely win handily. Finally, we'll end with Iowa coach Tom Brands, who discussed a number of topics earlier this week. The Hawkeyes are headed to West Lafayette. That's in Indiana. They're going to wrestle both Purdue and Ohio State. Both of those duels are going to be on Sunday. Both of them are going to be on Big Ten Network. Should be a fun little way to round out the weekend of wrestling. So we're going to put up the transition music between each interview, but that's the order we're going to go in today. Should get you guys plenty prepared for all of this weekend's action. I hope you guys enjoy.
Hello, welcome to Media Day, guys. Shoot away, I don't have an opening statement. Unless you really, really want one. I'll come up with one off the cuff.
I kind of just want to hear one now.
You really want to hear one?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got a big week ahead of us. Good weekend, last weekend. Obviously, we want more out of those guys. I think some really close instances, 125, 41. 57, where we got the chance to kind of flip the result there. So I think you feel it on the team here, the guys knowing that we're right there where we need to be, and the urgency's there for them to continue to step it up every week and get to where we want to be. So definitely not guys licking wounds this week. It's been really good so far and making progress. So that's where we're at. We're excited to head to North Dakota. It's going to be cold.
I kind of led into what I initially wanted to ask you guys, was just what's the vibe or the response in the room been like after Sunday? I guess Saturday.
Yeah, I think our vibe has been pretty motivated guys, really excited guys. I mean, obviously we're not good at losing. We don't want to lose. But I think that the guys know the mission. The guys know that, you know, we've done a really good job, I think. And actually them as athletes have done a really good job of after the competition, you know, really looking forward, take the next match at a time. And however the results turn out, we evaluate how we did, fix where we made errors or fix where we maybe should have got some bonus points or whatever the situation may be. And then get back to work. And I think as a whole, the team has been really, you know, forward looking that way, which I think has been really good for our development, you know, especially those young guys, as this is kind of their first time, even though it's, what are we, three dual matches in now, but first time going through a season. So this is all new territory for them. So every opportunity they get to be out there is an opportunity for them to learn and grow.
We've asked Dresser a variation of this question, I think, each of the last few weeks. But for you, from your viewpoint specifically, what have you kind of learned about this team through these first few weeks, and especially after what happened this weekend?
I've learned that we got a really talented team. I've learned that we've got a team that put a lot of work in December and the first part of January. I think it's clear that our shape's really good. I think it's clear that the guys are starting to really get the message, and I'm just reflecting back from past years maybe, really get the message to go out and look to score points and look to continue to build leads. I think that that's starting to happen more often than not. So I think the product out there is a better product. And I respect the guys for that. Even some of the matches where we lose, you know, if you're out there laying it on the line, you're not going to get grief from us. You know, as long as you're out there competing hard, we're happy. We'll go back to work, you know? So I guess that's my kind of evaluation where they're at.
How have you seen Terracina specifically respond after his loss?
I think he, in a good way, I hope. I think he took it pretty hard on himself, probably more than he needed to. You know, I think looking back, it's probably easy to cherry pick and say, oh, well, if only, you know, because what was there, 3, 4, 5 seconds left, something like that. So I think that he maybe took a lot of the grunt of the responsibility on himself. Obviously, we don't do that. Like I said, you could point at 41, you could point 57 there too, where we had opportunities to probably get bonus, and you could even say heavyweight as well. Again, not that this is a team sport, so I get where he's at from that point of view. But again, in the room here, you see a kid that's starting to get more locked in, more focused, hopefully really starting to understand how talented he is, how tough he is, that he's in the position that he's in because of the wrestling and the work that he's done. And, you know, the minute that we can get every bit of his potential out there, I think it's going to be really fun and exciting to watch. So he's going to keep learning, and I feel really confident that he's going to start figuring that out, you know. And by figuring it out, I don't mean just winning. By figuring it out, I mean go use all your tools at your disposal. You know, you go out and you score a takedown the first 45 seconds, and you're great. I mean, nobody can really get through the kid's head and hands, but just keep building. Keep building. Have that confidence in yourself and just keep building and see where the match goes, you know. You don't know. Maybe it'll be a major. Maybe it'll come down to being close at the end, you know. Maybe the guy steps up and gets tough, and then you still got to defend one off, you know, so.
We saw Zach Redding go through something really similar earlier in the season where he lost a match late, but then, I mean, this last week he bounces back and he does get points late and he does keep pushing and keep going. Is that kind of a path that you want to see Terracino go down?
Well, yeah, for sure. And, you know, to continue on him and Redding, I think after those first 2 weeks, you saw Redding, he came into the practice room with just a completely different demeanor. You know, it was almost kind of like a pissed off demeanor a little bit, right? Like a man on a mission. And, you know, just with communication, it was like, coach, I got to fix this. Like, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose matches I should be winning, you know? And then you talk through it, say, hey, well, this is what we need to do. This is, you know, when you're in practice, you got to make this real. You got to do this. And I think he made a good adjustment. And I would like to say I saw the same look in Tyrkina's eyes, you know, this week was he didn't like it. He wasn't happy. And that's good. And I think he got, like I said, you got one or two ways you can go, feel sorry for yourself, or you can build and get better and move forward from it. So, you know, we're working on the second one with him.
Absolutely. And then my last question for you, you're a guy who guys like to try to slow down back when you were a wrestler, try to slow down, take the pace out of everything. We saw that with David Carr's match. From your perspective, how do you get a guy to wrestle you, or how do you wrestle a guy who's wrestling from his knees the whole match?
I think my biggest message to David this week, and something I kind of tried to get through to him, was kind of just understanding that you can't control your opponent, right? So once you get to a certain level, I don't even know if it's in the sport, like let's just say ranking, right? So once you start getting a 1, 2, and a 3 in front of your name, naturally guys are not going to want to wrestle you. They're not going to want to wrestle you. They're going to game plan on how to keep it close and try to get one in the end. You know, that's generally how it's going to be. So when you enter a match, not going into the match thinking about what he's going to do to me, but what I'm going to do to you, right? And the way I kind of explained it to him, which I think made a lot of sense, was it's not on you to decide how that guy wrestles, right? You come and you bring your pace and you bring who you are and you see how long that guy can stay in the fire, right? And as long as you continue to put it on the guy, put it on him, you know what? The guy might hold up and maybe you only win by 3, okay? But more often than not, if you're talking about where you really want to dominate guys and separate the gap, is you got to keep that pace. You can't worry about what that guy's going to do. Bring your pace, bring your style, and see how long they can hold up. And when they put their head on the mat, then you go to work. You start rallying the points up.
David, thanks for doing this, man. What's the response in the room been this week after, you know, what happened last Saturday?
Pretty good. You know, I think the guys are really focused right now. You know, we're real close to being a top team, and, you know, we're just dialed in right now. I think a lot of guys are starting to come back. You know, some guys are getting healthy, so I'm excited to see our lineup this weekend and see what we can do.
Does that mean we're going to see Dagan and Colbray this weekend?
I don't know.
Oh, don't look at Brad. Come on, man.
I honestly can't say, you know, we're just every day we're kind of playing it by ear and stuff like that. So it's up to the coaches, and that's all I can really say.
I gotcha. After your match specifically, sorry if I'm going to steal your question, Ben, but did you have conversations with Metcalf about, you know, when guys wrestle to not wrestle you, so to speak, just kind of how you approach situations like that on the mat moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, my goal is always to try to score as many points as I can. And Metcalf, I've been working with Metcalf a lot this year, trying to be proficient in that. And, you know, some guys are, you know, that was an interesting tactic to be on his knees. It was a little bit harder for me to get to my leg attacks. So You know, he was just kind of, we talked about different strategies, you know, being able to get to the front headlock, being able to try to maybe stand him up, and then maybe I can get, you know, wrestle like normal and kind of get to my offense. But, you know, we worked on some different things just in case someone else tries to do that or that happens again.
Is that something that maybe do you have a little bit of experience in that, just going through your high school career, maybe where, you know, guys during the high school season maybe didn't want to wrestle you and you'd had to find different ways to put up points and things like that? Or is there experience you can maybe draw on from there?
A little bit in high school, but a lot of the high school guys usually would just like try stuff. Like they'd be like, all right, well, I don't know if I'm gonna win. I'm just might as well try like a headlock or a shot or try to hit my offense. And what I've noticed in college, it's like guys aren't even like trying stuff. Like he didn't shoot at all. Some of the other matches, some guys didn't really shoot on me or really try to wrestle me. So, I mean, as you can see, I think that was just, you know, it can be annoying at times, but at the end of the day, I got to find a way to score. It's not my job to play ref and call that guy for stalling. It's just my job to go out there and score, have fun, and try my best, really.
Hey, David, how impressed have you been by this true freshman class? I mean, both Tara Keenan and Zach Redding, and I mean, throw Cam Robinson and Younger Bastida in there too. They've all had their moments where they've looked like they're not true freshmen.
I mean, I'm honestly really impressed. I mean, these guys, I mean, you got to look at it like this. These guys are straight out of high school. Like these guys, no one really told them about, you know, COVID and this stuff. You were able to wrestle. Like they came into it and the coach was like, hey, you got to be ready to go. I don't know what you're doing last year wrestling high school guys, but you're wrestling the best guys in the country now. And you got to be able to adapt on the fly, learn how to cut weight, learn how to do all this stuff and manage stuff. And I'm really impressed with the way they've been able to adapt and learn. And like every week they're learning new things and wrestling at such a high level. You know, I feel for them and they're really doing a great job. Like I couldn't ask more for them and I'm really proud of those guys. And I just try to give them advice and try my best to help them out too.
Absolutely. Against Missouri, we saw Redding give up a late takedown against Oklahoma State. He flipped that, flipped the script and he got the late points and he was able to pull that match out. Tara Keenan might be going through something similar right now. How have you seen him respond after that loss?
You know, that's the guy that like he hates losing and like seeing him being frustrated and kind of being mad is just like, you know, it shows the fire. You know, that's what you kind of want. You want those losses kind of give you that energy, give you that workmanship. And I know he's going to make the adjustments. Like, he's so athletic, so explosive. And when he starts to learn how to use those tools and learn how to not give up a late takedown, and I think that's kind of like that's just the learning curve. I think when you get to see these guys, when it comes to the Big 12 championships, I think they're going to be well-seasoned. I think they're going to take their losses, you know, the late takedown type thing. And I'm excited for you guys to see all the work they're putting in the room at the end of the year. I think any year is really going to be where you see these freshmen blossom. They've definitely taken their losses a little bit and it's just the little things, but that's just a part of being a freshman, I think.
Gotcha. Thank you.
What has it been like for you in your training, being in a room with a group of guys that are so motivated?
It's been awesome. This year has been a lot more fun just with having the new guys. It's kind of refreshing. You know, it's just, those guys are working hard and you know, the guys who are the upperclassmen have really like, you know, we're trying to keep up and work hard and learn. Like, we're trying to learn just as much. It's kind of cool to see the freshmen learning the process because that was kind of me last year. And now, like, we're all together. It's a collective group. These guys are always working hard. And so it's just a refreshing, keeps you motivated. It's interesting this year being shorter. This has been unique and a fun experience for sure.
Thanks, David.
Hey, Sam, I don't know if I can't hear you if you said something. I still can't hear you. Maybe if you type in the chat, I'm not sure. I can hear you. You're unmuted, but it looked like he was talking, but I couldn't tell.
Any other questions for David, guys?
If Sam's going to type out his question or while he's getting that figured out, this is one of like two road trips that you guys are going to take this year, like total. Is there something to be learned or something that you guys are maybe looking forward to just going on the road and finally leaving Hilton? I know you guys love wrestling there, but you know, just the experience of a road trip has to be beneficial. I mean, even in this weird season, right?
I mean, road trips are really good. I think you learn a lot. I know for me, when I was a freshman, I learned a lot on the road. I think it's cool to just, it's like a bonding experience. It's real fun. You get to, you know, going on a road trip, you get a roommate and you're learning to cut weight on the road. It's definitely a learning experience, especially when we get down the road with Big 12s. It's a foreign environment. Get used to being in a hotel, get used to keeping your weight down. You know, at road trips, you learn a lot, and I think it's going to be a great experience to just this season to do another on-the-road thing and wrestle a team. So we got this question. Julian Brothers has won 3 matches in a row. What have you seen from him recently this week, allowing him to be successful? Great question, Sam. Julian has really picked it up in the room, and he's another guy that's he's learning a lot. He's starting to kind of get on a roll. He's starting to kind of pick it up. He's like, okay, I'm starting to figure this out. I'm wrestling a lot of tough guys. I'm really excited to see him even more open up. I don't think you guys got a chance to really see him hit some of his main stuff. And you know, he can throw, but he also has some great late attacks and he also has some great defense. And so I think as the season goes on, you'll get to see what makes Julian Brosian great. And I'm excited for you guys to see, because he's so explosive on his throws. He can really attack, re-attack. So I've watched him this week. He's really studied the film. He's trying to get better. And he's trying to keep that streak going, which is exciting to see from a young guy.
Get ready for Northern Illinois. A little shorter week than we've had the past few weeks. Wrestling on a Friday. I know that it's going to be very limited fans. They got some different rules over in Illinois. Sounds like maybe 50 people in the whole gym, so no fans will be in there. I don't know about any extra matches. We're going to try to get some if we can. But, man, they got a good team. They've been wrestling pretty well. I don't know, for us, we just got to recover and respond from last weekend. Like, I thought there was some – we wrestled hard, but just we got to continue to get better as a group. I like how the guys have responded. I like things that we've talked about and how they've really taken ownership of themselves, the program, and moving it to a new level. Because to me, we have to plan on beating teams like Oklahoma State every year. Not once in a while, not once every 10 years or 15 years or whatever, 20 years, what it was. You know, it's got to be something that's annual and continual. And how that happens is a whole lot of work, a whole lot of belief, and then doing it day after day after day, rinse and repeat over and over again. And that's what we're trying to get our guys to do. But for me, like I said, you know, you had a Sunday. Like, we haven't had a Sunday off. We had a Sunday off, and it almost feels like you had a week off, you know, just having a day off. But watch the film. There's some good things. Like I said, I like how we're competing hard. We just got to continue to get better as a group and keep building. I said Northern Illinois on Friday, and right now that's where the focus is for me and for our team. So I guess any questions you have?
That was the challenge you presented the team, is, you know, it's just to fight, you know, for 7 minutes. Yeah. And it seemed that was the case for sure on Saturday. Regardless of the outcome at the end, you were still battling in every one of those matches.
Yeah, well, if we don't have a chance. I mean, you can't take back seat to anybody. You know, you might get beat, but at least you can start to build a reputation of how you compete. And you know what, and when you have one guy do it, and then two guy, and then three guy, and then four guy, you know, you kind of have that string, and you know, you're just like, I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to break that string. I'm not going to be the guy. I'm going to add to it. And we just got to continue to have that. You know, like I said, being able to get guys in these atmospheres and have them be able to manage their emotions, and hey, it's maybe it's your first big match, in front of the home crowd, you know, big match in your head. We got to put guys out there and put them in those situations so we can really help them and they can help themselves and learn. Because, you know, until you actually put in that situation, I don't know if you really can figure out how to manage it. You know, you can talk about it before and you can visualize and you can go through it in your head, but actually going through those feelings and then putting yourself out there and putting yourself in the situation when, hey, I'm in overtime and I'm dead tired and I got to go try to find a takedown. You know, you can't duplicate that any other way than doing it. And, you know, that's why we'll continue to put our guys out there. And, you know, even the, with abbreviated season, man, I've seen growth every week from our guys. You know, we have two more weeks where we get to compete and we'll get better from those. And then you got the Big 12s. And, you know, I've had some people talk to me about, oh, you know, the season, this and that. And, like, you know, the guys haven't had time. And, like, it's still an opportunity. It's no different. It's been the same for everybody. So, you know, we can use that, oh, we didn't have this and that. Like I told you guys from day one, we said we were going to come out as better. We're going to handle this situation better than anyone else and manage what we can as well as we can. Like I said, I've pushed our guys hard. Pushed them harder this year than I have in the years in past, and guys have responded really well. You know, it's not back off like, well, you know, they have to deal with this and this and this. Like, they can – we'll help them manage through all that stuff. But making – letting them back off or, oh, you know, it's okay. And, you know, you know, this is going on. We'll back off our standard. We can't do that. And we haven't done that. And, you know, the great thing is you got guys on the team that are taking that torch and they're like, all right, coach, you don't need to lead the way. I'll lead the way. And that's what we're continue trying to build with our team, with our culture. So, yeah, I mean, I thought the guys fought, but I mean, there's levels to that too. There's levels across the board. There's levels to fighting. Hey, I fight for the last 40 seconds. If I fight the last 40 seconds, and I do that the whole match, what does that do? You know, does that score turn around? Is it different? You know, I don't know. We'll continue to work and get better. I know I'm rambling a little bit, but we wrestle. Like I said, we get to wrestle Northern Illinois on Friday, and anytime we get a chance to compete, man, it's just. Like I tell my team every time, I'm smiling, man. I'm smiling. We get to compete. You know, I think they're, you know, there was, I want to say maybe Penn State, you know, they got to compete for the first time this weekend. You know, so you don't know what's going to happen, so we just got to continue to manage what we can incredibly well, and I think we've done a good job with that. And how we respond from this, like I told the team, in Oklahoma State, we beat them here last year. You know how they responded? They found another level. They found another gear. They raised their level and are like, that's not happening again. And in our head, that's what we have to be able to do too. Nah, that's not happening again. You know, it's not going to happen in the Big 12s. That's not going to happen in this match or this situation. I know it's going to be really hard, but man, I'm prepared and ready for it. And so that's what we'll continue to do this week and the week after and the week after and the week after until we get to our national tournament.
Coach, we didn't get to talk a whole lot about it, but you said you got to watch some matches yesterday. What did you see out of the extra matches?
I'll tell you that the guys that are attacking and really going after things, I mean, they're having more success, you know, and sometimes I think we get too caught up into what that guy does well, and not that you shouldn't be aware of that, but I still have to trust and believe that my offense is better than anything that he can bring, anything that I can do, and if I set it up well enough, I can still hit it, and I have to be more persistent and being able to get to those spots. It can't be like, well, I tried once, and then, you know what, I'll back off, and then I'll let him dictate the pace of the match or the situations of the match or the ties of the match. And we got to be able to enforce our will, but enforce our style. And that means in a lot of situations you got to work harder. You're going to have to put more into that time because they're good wrestlers. These guys are skilled wrestlers. They're good. They're good at their positions. And then if you let them stay in those positions – and then you don't work hard to get them out of those positions, and it's like, well, it's not going to be easy. Then I back off. Yeah, you're probably going to get beat. And that's more where just more trust in time probably. But these are learning moments, though. You know, competition, I'll tell you, the biggest difference for me and the best thing that we can do in competition is I can actually point to it. You know, I can look in the room, and you can do things, and you can video in the room. But I think until they really see it in competition, then they're like, oh. Oh, yeah, coach, yeah, you're right, coach. Man, that mat return there, that would have made a huge difference. Oh, do you see how I led up right there? Oh, well, you do that in practice too. And now they're not, oh, that does carry over. So, you know, We just use those things as teaching moments. Like, they win or lose, I don't care. I need more information. I need them to go to do things and put themselves in positions and fight their, so to say, nuts off from start to finish. If they do that, then I can really help them. If not, then, and they're holding back, then I'm not really sure what they're capable of. And neither are they. So, yeah, just get them to take more risk. You know, I go back to a guy like Parker, and he took a lot of risk. He took a lot of chances. He wrestled freaking hard from start to finish, and you know, he put himself in a position to win the match. And I think we had a few other guys. We had a few other guys do that too. You know, I just bring him up because he's a guy on our team. He won a big match, but it's more how he won it probably than anything. You know, he's in a tough situation, a tough spot. He's freaking run over, and it looks like he's going to give up that situation, and he didn't. And you know, I think about, he went from about 7 seconds from being on his side to look like he's going to get taken down to taking the guy down. And that's battling through and fighting through position. Like we did what I just talked about. Like if he just fell over there and given up, then can't help the guy a whole lot, and he can't help himself. So that's what I saw. I saw some really good things. I saw some things where, hey man, we got to continue to get better. And that'll be the case till I'm done coaching.
Good afternoon to you.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll go right into questions for Coach Tom Brands. Please raise your hand as you have a question. Mike Finn, we'll go ahead and get started with you.
Hi, Tom. My questions deal with peaking, how normally you use the regular season to peak for the postseason. But this year being so short, I'm just curious, how much has it affected it as opposed in the past when you would normally start in the fall, have a tournament during the regular season, then you take it, pause, and go back at it. How much has this year affected peaking?
I've always said and thought and known, and even in my own career, this is a Gable philosophy. Peaking is a mindset. That's what's most important in the athlete's mind when you're talking about peaking or when you're getting ready for the whatever, biggest event. But here's the thing. The next event is the biggest event. And so, you know, we're going to West Lafayette, Indiana to wrestle Purdue and Ohio State. That's what's most important. This regular season, it affects seeds. It affects the postseason in a lot of ways, momentum. So there's a lot of things at stake here every week for every competition. And that's how you approach it even on a regular type season. And it's no different.
I had one follow-up to that, Tom. You know, in the past, they've talked about maybe making wrestling in a one-semester sport. Well, obviously, you're sort of dealing with this year. What are your thoughts about that, or how important is it to have that fall season?
Again, you know, we started October 10th, our practices. So we didn't compete. We got ready for one event that we put on ourselves. And then we competed in Omaha. So we actually competed twice in that time frame before Christmas. But, you know, our season started October 10th. We could be in that room and we could be running workouts. And, you know, without the competition, it's different. But at the same time, that mindset for the individuals is important. That's the most important thing. We emphasize that continually. We emphasize that in June and July. We emphasize that in June and July during COVID. So a normal June and July, we're emphasizing it, and a COVID June and July. So, you know, these guys are, I've said it since day one with this, you know, so-called crisis we're in. These guys have handled it very well.
Thanks, Tom.
KJ Pelcher, go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, can you talk a little bit about Michael Kemmerer's mat awareness and his ability to kind of wrestle through positions out on the mat?
Michael Kemmer is a wrestling rat, if you want to call him that. He loves the mat. So he's good in positions that favor him, and he's good in positions that maybe look like they don't favor him. He's a hustler, and he knows how to stay in there. He's got a really good feel. He's got some funky things in his on his body, body parts that are funky, explosive. And what he brings to the mat is it's unpredictable. So, you know, to answer your question in a roundabout way, that's how I would explain him. When he finds himself in an unfamiliar position, he usually gets out of it. Now, last year in the Big Tens, you know, that NDZ, that neutral danger zone position, you know, we learned from that. And he's gotten better because of that. So the other thing, the other side of that is you learn when things don't go your way. And he's pretty adept at learning. And what can you say about the guy? I mean, his social life's intact. His academics are intact. And he's a whiz bang on the mat. So we would have liked to see how that played out in the national tournament last year. And we're going to see how it plays out this year.
Cody Goodwin.
Hey, Coach. I know you guys were supposed to have two duels on Sunday, but you're going to get two duels this coming Sunday. Is there something to the idea of how important this is just to the idea of getting more than one match in a single day for your guys?
I think that when you look at the national tournament, the postseason, the Big Ten tournament, the national tournament, you look at multiple matches, and in some instances you're going to have multiple matches in the same session. So this is mimicking that to a certain degree. There's not a 2-day weigh-in or a 3-day weigh-in process, but this is getting there. So this is important.
Stephen Grace.
Coach, we talked a little bit afterwards about Max Murin kind of picking things up. Big top 10 win this past week. He's got number 2 Sasso coming up. What do you see he needs to build on for that kind of matchup this weekend?
You know, here's the thing. I mean, you can give credit to the opponent or not. And I'll tell you, without giving locker room material to anyone, Max Murin, he respects all, fears none. He's not going to give credit to a number one ranking on an opponent or a pizzazz style or an explosive this or that or the other thing that this guy may possess or not. He's going to go out there and he's going to wrestle Max Murin style. Now, here's the thing. You better be ready for a war, and we're getting better. So without speaking for him too much, I think he's excited about this challenge and he's up for it. He's always been up for it. And you know, what are you going to do with this opportunity? That's where we're at. That's where we're at. What are you going to do with this opportunity?
Chris Werner, go ahead.
Hey, Coach. I just want to touch on Jaden Ironman and his pin on Sunday, kind of the first one of the young season. And he obviously had a lot of pins at Missouri as well. Do you think that might spark some more momentum with his individual wrestling, or how do you think that might affect him for the rest of the year?
Well, momentum is scoring points in bushelfuls. And, you know, the Big Ten, there's not, you know, there's no slouch. The opponents, you have to be ready to go on all of them. And I'll tell you what you saw on Sunday was a fundamental response to an offensive hold from his opponent. And our fundamental response, our fundamental counter was executed pretty smart and hard, and it set up his cradle or whatever, you know, he ended up in. And what I'm trying to say is we have to be fundamentally strong here. And when we're fundamentally strong in our positions, that will favor all this other stuff. When you look for things and, you know, things slow down because you're looking for the same thing over and over again, that doesn't favor your wrestling. It doesn't matter, you know, how good you are in those positions, because guys feel them coming from a long ways away. You want to lead them to their demise and their doom where they don't feel it. And you saw that Sunday. He threw his legs back hard. It was a hard, stiff leg. And then, you know, the guy crawled up hard. And as that guy's crawling up, boom, we do our trademark type hold. And, you know, the funky stuff takes care of itself when you're doing good fundamentals. And, you know, I remember a guy named Rico Ciparelli. And, you know, Gable constantly preached fundamentals with him, and sometimes he would get himself in trouble because he would go to his funk early and often. And what happened with the fundamentals was all of a sudden in the national finals match, he's doing back rolls, and there was a, you know, a 45 second scramble there where he ended up scoring on his funk to win the national title against Cal State Bakersfield. And you know what, that's a great lesson for all young wrestlers and guys that like to go to their funk, you know, hammer that basic fundamental techniques and stuff.
Mike Fenn, go ahead.
Tom, this is a follow-up on Jaden Ironman. Since he did have so much experience, a three-time All-American before he came here, did you feel like you had to change anything about him? Because you had mentioned this funk. Did you do anything to help his funk or anything like that, or did you just let him be him?
You let him be him. That's our philosophy. I think guys get the most out of themselves when they're who they want to be, and they're comfortable that you're not micromanaging them to turn them into something they're not. Now, his personality shines through every day. Why? That's why he's so popular on this team and a great addition as a transfer. And you don't worry about those things because, you know, you don't have that drama and that pettiness. But there are some things that had to be hammered home for sure. Shortcuts, you know, human beings, they sometimes like to take shortcuts. And so when are you going to get going here, stud? When are we going to get going here? And you sometimes had to spur him in the right direction now and then. But, you know, as far as, you know, letting him be him and wrestle his, you know, that's what you do as coaches. You know what, you let them be themselves, but at the same time, I mean, you have to have that communication where the shortcut can't be early and often and go into shortcuts. It's, you got to wrestle smart and you got to wrestle hard. And he's wrestling smart and hard right now.
Cody Goodwin.
I know you guys are next man up at 165. Is there a chance Patrick Kennedy could get down to that weight, or does his descent plan not allow him?
If you look at the descent plan, 1.5%, he's been weighing 74. You would know that he's 4 weeks out, and plus he's got a lot of horsepower. And, you know, we're not there. It's not like Alex Marinelli won't be back.
I guess I was just more for his experience to get the matches in.
Well, his experience, he's wrestling 174 for us in those extra matches. He, you know, you're talking about Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he even wrestled for Kemmer as the point scorer in a dual meet against Nebraska. So he's doing exactly what he needs to do in his role. And we love Patrick Kennedy.
As a quick follow, what have you kind of thought of the freshmen as a whole? Just, you know, Schriever has gotten a few matches in, Kennedy, obviously, and what have you thought of them so far?
Guys are learning some of the things that we talk about every day and some of the things that I've talked about with Kemmer and with Ironman, who you're going to talk to next here, that, you know what, your best positions favor you, and you wrestle hard and you wrestle smart. And it's not quite that simple, but if you stay in that mode, you know, that's, you're not going to be led astray by yourself too much. Wrestle hard, wrestle smart, stay in the positions that favor you. Good things will happen.
One more quick note that I'm sure you guys have heard by now. That interview with Tom Brands came before Thursday's announcement that he has tested positive for COVID-19. The Iowa Wrestling Program said that Tom tested positive during a regularly scheduled rapid antigen test, as well as a PCR test to confirm it. They also said that Tom is asymptomatic and he's going to stay home until February 13th, which means the Hawkeyes will be without Brands for this weekend's duel against Purdue and Ohio State, and next week's big duel against Penn State in Happy Valley. That comes less than a week after Alex Marinelli was held out of last Sunday's duel against Illinois because he too is in the COVID-19 protocol. In a statement, Brands said the following, quote, "Our guys are preparing for competition just as they always do. We are ready to go. I will continue to work remotely. We have a good thing going, and we are going to keep moving forward. Right now, our focus is on Purdue and Ohio State," end quote. We'll be sure to update you guys with more information as it becomes available. But in the meantime, that's the show today, guys. That's all we've got. Thanks a bunch for listening. Be sure to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your shows. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Goodwin, Instagram at Cody J. Goodwin. Always love communicating with you guys. And be sure to also subscribe to the Des Moines Register to catch all my stories, mailbags, analysis, videos. Guys, we had our state tournament meeting today at the Des Moines Register. Very, very excited about all the content we're going to bring you during that week and in the couple of weeks leading up to it. So be sure you subscribe now so you can read all of that action. It's going to be a fantastic state tournament this year. Super excited that they are going to even have it, right? I mean, we should feel blessed about that, but also just it's going to be an excellent tournament just with all the talent that we have in the state of Iowa this year. You don't want to miss any of that. So you can find links to subscribe as well as stories from this past week all in the show notes. That's it for this episode. Thanks again for listening, you guys. We will talk again soon.